Welcome to the Corner of Film podcast. It's the official podcast of www.cornerofilm.com, which is a film website where I write about film. I'm Niall. Joining me as always is Jack. Hello, Jack.
Hi, Niall.
Hello, hello. It's wonderful to be here. Thank you for joining me again.
Always a pleasure. Well, the three times we've done this.
Exactly.
It's going to be a pleasure.
It's going to continue to be a pleasure forevermore.
Pleasurable segments.
Just before we get started with the juiciness of the segments, I have had a few messages. I know you've had a couple as well from people saying how much they're enjoying the podcast. It's really nice to hear.
It is nice.
Lovely feedback. We really appreciate it. Also, if you have any constructive criticism, just drop us a message and I'll read it. Probably reply. Maybe. We'll see. So last week, I released the first mini episode of the Corner of Film podcast. It's done all right in numbers. I've had a couple of bits of feedback about it. It's a growing thing. I'm not done with the format yet, so I will fiddle with it. It will probably get much better. It's a grower, not a shower.
Not a shower, and that is what is important.
It will probably be a little bit more focused next time. That way it was a bit thrown together, the first one.
I for one, enjoyed it, mainly because I didn't have to listen to myself talk for 40 minutes or however long it was. Because I do go back and I listen to like little bits just to see how unbearable my voice is. But actually, I really enjoyed your first solo episode. So,
no, thank you. Thank you.
Well,
it's
done.
They're a bit more serious. It's a bit more like...
Yeah, it's a different tone. I like it.
Focused than this. But, you know, nice and short, easy to edit, and I'm all about easiness.
Easy, baby.
So, Jack, for our first segment, I'd like to know, what have you been watching?
Well, I've got to be honest, my film watching is really quite bad at the moment. I just never seem to like find the time to sit down. But having said that, I've managed to watch two films, both of which, not great, but they're films nonetheless. So the first one was Dinner for Schmucks.
All right, right.
Have you seen Dinner for Schmucks?
Oh, maybe a few years back. If I have, I don't remember. Isn't it a remake of like a French film?
Do you know what? I actually have no idea. Possibly. I think, am I even getting the film? Is it Dinner for Schmucks or Dinner?
No, I'm pretty sure it is.
Steve Carell.
Yeah.
Steve Carell and the lovely Paul Rudd. It's okay. It's an easy watch. It's nothing special, but it's quite good fun. Steve Carell just kind of playing same kind of weirdo that he does a lot of the time.
Yeah, he's usually just a weird dude. Paul Rudd's usually like a lovable, mostly normal dude.
He can't not be. He's kind of like a little bit of a dick in this, but you just don't buy it because you just know he's so lovely.
Yeah, you can't ever not like Paul Rudd.
No.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's I mean, I think I have watched it, but I don't remember it if I have, if that makes
sense.
Well,
that probably sums it up just about right. What was the other thing I watched? Detective Pikachu.
Oh, right. I've not seen it. So let me know your thoughts.
This is a film I really wanted to see, like, when it was out. Obviously, we were like that prime age for Pokemon. Like, that came out right at the sweet spot of our childhood. So, finally got around to watching it. And was a bit sad, really. Wasn't that good.
Didn't do it for you. I mean, I've heard quite good things, but I've not personally seen it. It doesn't really interest me. Like, I liked the anime. I liked that when I was a kid. Yeah. I did enjoy watching that. I think I've watched most of it again since as well in the last sort of 5-6 years. But I just wasn't that, like, when I heard about Detective Pikachu, I just thought, oh, that's cool, but
The thing is, it looks awesome. Like, it's so cool, like, seeing Pokemon just kind of like just walking about in like the real world, like then, you know,
the
human world. Like, it looks awesome and it's really good. And I was a bit like, I don't know how I feel about Ryan Reynolds playing Pikachu, but actually it was quite good. But kids definitely would love it. Like, it's a Pokemon film. Like, it's super easy to watch, but yeah, it was okay. It had a lot of potential, but it just fell a bit. It kind of did all the cliche trope stuff, but
well, that's a shame. That
is
a shame. But well, you've watched two uninteresting films then.
Two bummers. Yeah, what about you watched anything good?
I, like you, have watched two films recently I mean, one I'm going to review is going to be up on the site. It will probably go up. It will probably already be up by the time the podcast goes out. But I watched Zombieland last night.
No, for the first time?
No, no, God. I've seen it like at least 10 times.
Yeah.
Great film.
It is
so
really
it's such an easy watch. Like it shouldn't be. It's, you know, apocalyptic, but it is a really easy watch. It's quite funny. It's, if you've not seen it, you know, you should see it. But I feel like most people that I know or that would listen to this podcast, yeah, they've probably seen it. Really enjoyed that. And I watched, this was about a week ago now, but I watched A Lot Like Love. Have you seen that?
I have not seen that. And I, to be honest, I don't know that I've actually heard of it. Is that bad or is that?
It is. No, that's not bad at all. Oh, okay. It's a romantic comedy. I can't remember the year, but I want to say sort of like mid-noughties, maybe late noughties. But
prime rom-com then.
It's an Ashton Kutcher, which he's good at what he does. Like, he doesn't really go out of his wheelhouse. He does his comedies, his romantic comedies.
And he's good at that.
Yeah. He was great in it. It's also got Amanda Peet, if you know her. She's not Amanda Peet.
No, not, she's not familiar.
She's not like a big name, but she's quite cool. She's pretty good in it. Mm. They've got a good chemistry between them. It's also got Catherine Hahn.
Cool.
She's quite a minor role. She plays her like sort of normal, you know, comedy supporting character that she plays in about 10 films.
Everything,
And you know Ali Larter? You know, what was she in? She was in Final Destination.
Oh, see, Final Destination, I know Final Destination, but I'm not familiar with the lovely actors within it.
Oh, no, she's not. She's nothing special. She was also in Heroes, if you've ever seen that.
No, but I know she was only in Heroes.
No, she was quite a supporting role in the film anyway. No, it's a good film, like romantic comedy. It's pretty standard, you know.
Yeah.
I feel like romantic comedies don't really get made anymore. Like,
It's the same with just like general like comedies. If you think about like 2000s, if you're thinking like, you know, 40-Year-Old Virgin, why have I gone blank? Stuff like that, you know.
Yeah,
like
Knocked Up, that sort of.
There's just, people haven't made a decent, I mean, Will Ferrell's tried a few times, bless him, but just not really made anymore.
No, do you know what I think it is? I think we do get them still, but they are like straight to streaming now. You know, they're like Netflix films. Like, Netflix has churned out so many subpar comedies.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a few Sandman comedies and a few like Happy Madison ones that have gone up. That, like, have you seen The Do-Over?
And do you know what? I didn't mind The Do-Over.
No, I quite like a dumb comedy, but I know it's a dumb film. Like, you sit and watch it and think this is really stupid, but I love it anyway.
Yeah,
but they do. I think they do make them. They just don't really get the same buzz anymore. I think the nature of what makes people laugh and what people want from a film has changed. So
yeah, comedy's changed a bit, hasn't it? I think, you know.
Yeah. I mean, this is a major, like, we've gone off on a big tangent.
Already,
but
we're only like 10 minutes in.
That's fine. People will listen. Yeah. If they don't, then, you know, skip ahead a few minutes, but just do what you like. You do you. We're going to do us. I'd quite like to see, like, you know, Bo Burnham. I think he's done a special literally like yesterday.
He has. I've not watched it.
No, neither have I. But he is like, he's a genius. I'd love to see him like write and star in a comedy film. Like, I think he could do
like a clever comedy.
I mean, I know he does. It's mostly musical comedy, but I think he's one of the great comedic minds at the moment. I think he could. I'd like to see him branch into film a bit more.
You never know.
I know he was recently in. I think it was Ingrid Goes West that I've not seen.
No, I've not seen that either.
I think he was in that. Oh, no, he was in Promising Young Woman.
And I've not seen that.
He was recently in Promising Young Woman. I've not seen it, but it was an Oscar one.
It was very well received then.
I think it was Best Original Screenplay.
Oh.
Yeah, so
there you go.
Other than A Lot Like Love and Zombieland, I have just finished with Invincible, finally. I know I said when I started it that you'd like it. Have you had a chance to put that on?
I can't lie, no, I've not watched it.
Oh,
I'm really sorry. I haven't, but I do. I swear I will get around to it.
That's I mean, it's well worth a watch. It's really good. I think it's eight episodes.
See, I can do 8 episodes.
I believe they're already working on second season. I mean, it's kind of implicit in the ending of the first. Like, it does a montage of all the things that are going on and that will need resolving. You know, plot threads and stuff. So, it's really, really good.
I'm going to watch one this week, I promise you.
Yeah, no, you should. I think once you've watched the first one or two, you'll just sort of blitz through them because they're really fun.
Watchable.
And I've also been watching, it's a TV thing, but I feel like you'd want to hear this. I've been watching Bob's Burgers.
Oh, you know I want to hear that. I am in love with Bob's Burgers.
I'd only seen like odd episodes, and I've always thought that's a really great show, but I've just never watched much of it. And it was kind of next on my, I'd like to see the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of now probably my favorite animated show.
Yes.
I can't
lie. It's got that early Simpsons, like,
Magic.
I just said Simpsons. It's got that very early Simpsons, like, charm about it. It's so good. I love it.
It's quite innocent, but it's also, it can be a little bit dark, but without pushing it. It's got just nailed the formula.
Yeah, love it.
I'm really enjoying it. So that's, you know, I guess that's enough about the TV stuff.
About the boob tube.
It's not even true to the name of the podcast.
No, it's not.
I deeply, deeply apologize for it. There's no excuse.
So you should.
So I think we should move on to our second segment. Which I've kind of tentatively titled "Let the Games Begin." Was that dramatic enough?
You could possibly in post add a bit of reverb to that or something epic.
I'm going to take another run at it. Let the games begin.
Wow.
I did give it a fancier name, this exact segment, but I have not written it on my notes.
Well,
so you're going to have to just imagine a great name.
Okay.
But basically, what we're going to do, we're going to put ourselves into the lives of different fantasy worlds in film.
Yes.
And we're going to kind of talk about where we think we'd fit into that society. In some, we're going to talk about sort of maybe which aspect of it we'd like to be a part of. So we'll go one by one. And Jack, you can go first. Tell me how you think you'd fit in. And then I'll tell you mine.
Well, so we talked about doing multiple different worlds, like Harry Potter and Star Wars and whatnot. But it took me hours to think of Harry Potter alone, because I'm not joking. This kind of thing runs through my head all day, every day anyway.
Yeah, like, yeah, same.
Just constantly wishing I wasn't living my mundane, boring, muggle life. So actually, this was kind of easy, but also not. So. My thing with Harry Potter is I wanna do it all. I'd like to teach at Hogwarts. I'd like to play Quidditch. And I was thinking, well, what kind of job can I do that would enable me to experience all these things? So I like this. I've come up with this. It might already be a thing in J.K. Rowling's head. It probably is. But
right.
And I've forgotten it already.
right.
Are you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Magical documentarian.
Okay.
Do you like that?
I do like that. So just give us an idea of what that entails.
So, well, a documentarian. So in real life, I like taking pictures. I'm, you know, it's one of my favorite hobbies. And I thought, what a better way to see everything than be a photographer in the magical world? You can go cover Quidditch games. You can go and do like nature documentaries on the magical creatures. You could go on tour with the Weird Sisters. You know the Weird Sisters?
Yes, I do. You know, shake your body like a hairy troll. Learning to rock and roll.
That's right. That's
right.
I know
the ones.
So, yeah, I could do that. And you could just do everything. I always think, like, you know that kind of famous picture from the Daily Prophet of Bellatrix, like, screaming at the at the camera?
Oh, you get to go to the prison.
Well, who took that picture? That's what I want to know.
Maybe you did.
Well, oh, yeah.
This is... I mean, that's really actually a very, very good answer.
Yeah.
I hadn't thought that broadly about it, to be honest, but that's
these are
very
things
true.
That keep me up at night, Niall.
That's a good way to experience
also,
the whole world.
What I want to know is who took the pictures of the wizards in the chocolate frog cards?
I can't answer. Maybe they give one of the frogs a camera and just let the frogs do it. They've only got one good jump in them. They've got to do something afterwards.
Yeah, that's true. I like that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, what about you? What about in the world of Harry Potter?
So mine sort of goes hand in hand with yours, but nice. Also is much, much less interesting. I think I would want to run a magical bookshop, not Ooh. Unlike Flourishing Blots, except yeah. way less messy. Every time I watch that scene in the second one where they go in to find the books, I cringe at the idea of like going into a shop like that, trying to find something specific. And
yeah.
I just think even with magic, that's going to be a pain.
That is going to be a pain.
So I would have like a nice, hyper-organized, not dusty bookshop, a rival bookstore. I try and put Flourishing Blots out of business.
Have you come up with a shop name?
I haven't, although maybe we could now. Maybe we should.
Okay.
Okay, what could we call my magic bookshop?
No, I've got nothing.
No, me neither.
Next week.
Yeah, we'll set ourselves a challenge. That's yeah. I'm going to come up. Yeah.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing your bookshop, man.
Okay, so that's where we'd fit into the wizarding world.
Oh, we're so sad.
Yeah, we are really sad. So the next one was Middle Earth. Oh. Where do you think you'd fit into Tolkien's Middle Earth?
See, I'm not that versed with the deep, deep lore of Tolkien's Middle Earth, because I know it is humongous, like absolutely
yeah, it's a bit
humongous.
Much.
But to be honest, why would anybody not want to be a hobbit? They just live the best life imaginable.
That is true. I have always thought that. Like, the Shire is by far the best place in Middle Earth. You can't...
Easily.
Yeah, that's a good point. So is that your answer? You'd want to be a hobbit in the
yeah,
Shire?
An unemployed hobbit, just sitting around eating all day and smoking pipes.
That is a question, though, isn't it? Because what do hobbits do? Like, most of them have little farms, or some of them have farms, yeah. but they don't all have farms. So
they must have jobs. Well, they do have jobs, because Rosie pulls pints, doesn't she?
She does. They have, some of them have jobs, but it's never mentioned. Like, what does Frodo do outside of adventuring? Because he's like 50-something when they first set out.
Yeah,
he
is. I didn't realise that, because I've just started reading the first one.
Reading them is... It's one of the very few times where you'll hear me say that the films are better than the books.
Oh, I agree, tenfold.
Tolkien was renowned for, like, his friends wouldn't ever go for walks with him, because he used to stop and examine trees, like every tree.
About right.
And, like, describe them and stuff, so...
Anyway, not book club, that's another podcast, we'll do that another time.
Yeah, corner of book.
Corner of
the corner of book.
Doesn't have the same ring to it.
It doesn't. So I'll be honest, I didn't think that hard about this. It was like an instinctual answer. I was just like, well, this is what I would do. I'd want to be... So you know when they first meet Aragorn and he's introduced as Strider?
Strider.
Well, he's a ranger.
He is a ranger. Right?
And they don't really go into much depth about the Rangers. They don't talk too much about them. I'm sure you can do deep dives and there's loads and loads of information.
Oh, you know there is.
I don't think I need to do that to know that's what I want to be. I want to run around in the wild, get to know all the like plants, animal friends.
Yeah. Run around with sweet, greasy hair and a chiseled jaw.
Yeah. I mean, I'm halfway there already.
You are halfway there.
I'll leave it up to your imagination which half. Okay, so I guess that's where we would fit into Middle Earth.
Oh, I'd like to add, I would also quite like to make shoes for horses in Rohan. That'd be quite a nice job.
Oh, a farrier.
A farrier.
You could be a farrier for the Rohirrim.
Oh, that's a lovely sentence.
It's a sentence that only a small percentage of the audience are going to understand. But yes, you could be a farrier for the Rohirrim. That's something I quite often say. Again, huge, huge side note, but I don't think people will care.
Nah.
It's something I quite often say when I'm trying to get the entire family to get ready to leave the house. I shout, "Muster the Rohirrim."
How does that work for you?
I've had mixed success.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works. Sometimes they all ignore me. I'm deeply disappointed in them all, but
they'll get there.
What can you do? Yeah, eventually. Eventually, none of them have seen Lord of the Rings, so...
Well, you need to rectify that.
Yeah, well, one of them's way too young.
Nonsense.
But, you know, I mean,
you sit
have
them
you...
down and you watch that extended director's cut and they all love it.
Have you seen, just out of interest, have you seen the animated version?
I have actually.
And I love it.
Well, I thought I liked it until I rewatched it recently and remembered how terrifying it actually is, and it used to give me nightmares.
Oh, it is creepy. It's
creepy, that really scary mix of like live action with animated stuff.
Yeah, it's the weird. The bit with the like orcs running and it's like shadows and that is creepy, but
it's so scary.
I think for the time though, that's absolutely groundbreaking animation. Like,
it still looks good, actually.
It was all like rotoscoped, wasn't it?
That's the word I was looking for. Yeah,
yeah, beautiful, beautiful piece of film. Really weirdly ended though, didn't it?
They
ran out of like money, so they just ended it at the Battle of Helm's Deep and then just put like a little title card up saying that the war went on. That was it.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, something like that. It was odd. Very
That's
odd.
A shame. They should go and do another one.
They should. I don't think they will, but
no,
they should.
Definitely won't.
Okay, so the next one is one I know you'll be excited for. Ooh. Where, Jack, would you fit into the Star Wars universe?
Star Wars. This again was tricky. Well, it was tricky because where do you even start with Star Wars and Harry Potter? You could do literally anything.
Yeah, it is a big old, I mean, Star Wars in particular is,
yeah, it's humongous. I mean, I would like to say obviously the obvious one would be a Jedi. Like, who doesn't want to be a Jedi? No, it's just the coolest.
well
oh, okay, apparently not you. We'll get to that in a minute. I don't know. Do you know, I think I'd be quite happy being like a semi-professional pod racer who sometimes in his spare time to earn a bit of extra credit, he
dabbles in prostitution.
Well, I wasn't going to say that, but if that's what you're into in the Star Wars world, I'll let you have that. What I was going to say is I would like to pour pints of blue milk in like the kind of seedy under Coruscant, like that kind of dirty part of the city.
Dirty. Actually, that's very similar to my answer. So my first thought was, I mean, like, obviously, yes, your mind goes straight to, okay, well, if I could use the Force. And I've got to say, from what we know of the light side, the dark side, I don't think I'd want to be a Jedi.
Really?
I think the Jedi are very, it's very culty.
Yeah, the Jedi are slightly flawed.
You know, I think from an objective point of view, I think the Sith's general kind of approach is a little bit more open.
It is a bit more free.
But, you know, they're painted as bad, but I don't know. I mean, Palpatine is evil.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
It's I still think that some of the Jedi, I don't like Mace Windu. He gives me the creeps.
Mace Windu is quite annoying, but not as annoying as prequel Yoda. In Empire Strikes Back, he's just amazing, like lovable.
He's hilarious.
He is such a little in the prequels. Like, he is so rude all the time.
Yeah, he is a bit. He's really like haughty, like
yeah,
high and mighty
Yoda.
That's
a good word. Yeah, that is Yoda to a T.
They are a bit snooty, the Jedi.
Yeah, they are.
I think statistically, though, you have to look at it as, okay, I'd be like an average person in the Star Wars universe.
Would you be Force sensitive, though?
Maybe. I don't know. Probably not, knowing me.
So.
But I honestly think if I was in that world, I would be some sort of low level crook or bounty hunter or something like that.
I can see you as a crook.
I wouldn't be like a nasty crook.
No.
I'm not an evil person.
A kindly crook.
I don't really care about authority, so I definitely wouldn't be, you know, some sort of imperial lackey or anything. But
bootlicker.
I'd be some sort of criminal
scumbag.
I'd like to be a bounty hunter. You know, you get to travel, get to
see
kill
the world,
people.
Yeah.
That's what more could you want from a job? Murder
exactly.
And travel. They're the benefits.
Good pension.
yeah, if you live that long.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah, good stuff. Okay, well, that was actually a lot easier than I thought it would be.
Yeah, that was. I thought we were going to be there for hours.
No. Okay, so the next one is a bit trickier. But what I figured is, so with it's the MCU, the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I didn't really know, because again, if you're looking at it statistically, you're going to just be some normal person who
this is the thing.
Lives. So I figured, instead of, you know, how would you fit? What superpowers would you have? Do you think you'd be, you know, an Avenger, or would you be some sort of anti-hero or just out and out villain?
I don't know. I'm not a villain. I'm not bad enough. I'm not cool enough to be a villain. I quite like the idea of kind of being like a freelance Avenger. Like, I'll join in when they need me, but I don't want to be, I'm not signing any Sokovia Accord or anything. I'm not getting involved with that.
No, that's but, fair. That's fair. A bit like Spider-Man, like he's not.
Spidey, yeah. No, but I don't know. Superpowers, I mean, there is no doubt in my mind I would fly all day long.
Nice. I mean, I would love to fly, but I don't think that's necessarily me. I think if I was to have superpowers, it would be some sort of speed thing. I can't ever sit still, ever.
No.
And my mind is like jumps from one thing to the next so quickly. I think it'd have to be speed.
Speed's a good one.
Because ADHD doesn't count as a superpower.
Well, to some people it probably does.
Well, not to me, it's a nightmare. No. but you know, yeah, so speed, I think I'd be a fast guy.
Where would you go to first, as fast as you could? Where would you go?
Somewhere quiet. Somewhere away from everyone. No, I'd want to see, like, I don't know. Just want to see. Oh, no, Paris is boring and dirty. Like, it's a really filthy city. They never tell you that.
I have heard of it. It's been quite dirty.
It's, yeah. It's pretty grubby. No, I'd want to go, like, I don't know. I'd want to see, like, the proper wonders of the world. Like, there's a lost city in Turkey called Temesos that I'd like to see.
Is there?
It's like completely abandoned. They're not sure why it's abandoned. It's one of the only places that Alexander the Great couldn't conquer.
I wonder why that was.
It's like heavily fortified. It's in mountains and it's like naturally fortified. It's just interesting. That sort of thing interests me.
I'm going to look into that.
I'd go there, I think. Mm. That's, again, a huge, huge tangent. Historical tangent.
As always, as always.
Yeah. Okay, so I guess that was also quite quick.
Smashing it.
This next one is a bit of a weird one, but I thought we'd have a laugh with it. So in the Universal Classic Monsters universe, so that's, you know, you've got your Dracula, you've got your mummies,
Creature
your Wolfmans.
From the Black Lagoon.
Yeah, your Frankenstein, or Frankenstein's monster.
Monster.
So I guess the question is more, which one would you identify most with? If you were one of them, which do you think you'd be?
I don't know. I've got a real thing. I love, like, old horror films. Are like, I just love them. Yeah. I watch them all day, like, especially the old Universal Monsters thing. Love them. My favourite being The Invisible Man. I love that film so much.
Do you know what? That's one I've not seen.
It's such a fun film. You'd love it.
I will definitely check it out. Yeah. So is that the one you would want to...
I don't know, because he's a bit of a weird guy, the Invisible Man.
Well, you know, let's not judge. But
well, yeah, and I am also a bit weird, and I'd like to be invisible sometimes. So, yeah, I'm going to go with that, because you don't really have a very good life as a vampire, let's be honest.
No, it's a bit bleak, isn't it? I mean, I guess if you were Dracula, though, you would have, like, a castle and stuff. And
that's true.
That would be pretty fun.
Real estate.
But I think, most likely, I would be the Wolfman.
The Wolfman, nice.
The Wolfman, yes, I would be a wolf dude. I guess I just like the Wolfman. You get to run around naked at night and stuff.
Living the dream.
It's just a free life of wolfism.
Yeah, I might change my answer to that as well.
We could be wolfmen together. We'd be a wolf pack.
Yeah, oh, nice.
The Corner of Film Wolf Pack podcast.
Yes.
Okay. So for the last one is the Pixar universe. I know we both enjoy animation, and I just thought it'd be fun to, again, it's not necessarily a how would you fit in but more which of the many, many Pixar worlds would you want to live in and why?
I don't know. I love all of them, but I'd quite, you know what, actually, I could do something that I could probably do in real life, and I'd be a pizza delivery guy. I'd drive the Pizza Planet truck.
Oh, that's a really, really sad answer, Jack.
It wasn't meant to be. Actually, in my head, that was a great time.
That, I mean, I have always thought that, like, Pizza Planet looks great.
It does look great. There is one in Disneyland Paris you can eat, apparently.
I have eaten there.
Oh, you have? Is it as horrible as people say it is?
It's not nice. No,
sticky floors.
It's very, very grubby.
I'm still going to go. You can't stop me.
No, it's well worth it just for the experience, but yeah. You won't be impressed.
No. Wait, hold on. Something's just crossed my mind. I take that back entirely. I don't mean to cut you off, but I want to be part of the Bug Circus in A Bug's Life.
Oh, I hadn't even thought of Bug's Life. Oh, man.
Final answer.
That's great. You would be great in the Bug Circus.
Thank you very much.
That was meant as a compliment.
I took that as a compliment. Where would you fit into in the world?
So my favourites are, I love Brave.
Yes.
I think Brave is a beautiful film. And again, I know it's quite historical. It's not the most interesting, but I've always been kind of a bit of a history nerd.
Bit of a nerd, so, yeah.
I like that. But I honestly think the most exciting Pixar kind of experience would be The Land of the Dead from Coco.
Oh, yes.
So colourful, just music everywhere. You know, all your dead loved ones are there.
Yeah.
It just sounds great. Like that would be great. I think that's got to be my favourite animated film of all time. It's just so beautiful.
Wow, that is a statement.
I can't think of another film I've watched that I've loved as consistently.
It is very good.
It holds me every time. It grabs me every time.
Oh, yeah.
It's a great film.
I will say, though, if you've recently lost a grandparent, don't go and watch it a few days afterwards. It's not worth it.
Okay.
You will just bawl your eyes out.
I will keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I've been lucky enough to not experience big losses, so I guess that might change my answer.
Just don't watch Coco afterwards and you'll be fine.
It's not a post-funeral film.
No, it's definitely not.
Okay. What is a post-funeral film? Like, is there one?
Dumb and Dumber.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. All the classics.
Okay. So just quickly before we move on, it's sort of adjacent to that Pixar one.
Yeah.
It occurred to me that in a few different ways, you and I are very much like Mike and Sully.
Now, who is Mike and who is Sully?
Well, see, in different ways, we're both like both.
Yeah.
Because you're the kind of big, hairy, gentle one.
I've been told this many times.
I am the small, kind Green. Of wacky, yeah, small, wacky eye. Guy. But then also, you know, that's pretty obvious. But then also, you are quite, you've always been quite an anxious person about stuff. Like, you've always been
I have no idea what you're on about.
You've always been a bit of a worrier. And I've always been a bit of a, let's just dive in and then we'll see how this turns out.
Yeah, that's very true.
So I guess in that sense, you're the Mike and I'm the Sully. But
yeah.
I think there's an argument for either one of us being either.
We've both got a little bit of both.
Which would you rather be?
I don't know.
I think I'd want to be Mike.
Yeah, I think I'd want to be Mike as well.
Just we could be Mike and Mike.
His little legs and his little bum always makes me laugh.
Okay, so we'll move on to our next segment then, I guess, which is the news. I need to come up with a good name for it. Again, I think I did, and I've not written it down.
Yeah, you keep doing that.
The new segment.
You're the ideas guy.
I guess. Yes, yeah. I am, but I've failed everyone here.
No.
So, you know, the news, the big news, I guess, is the School of Rock death.
Yes, tragic.
Kevin Clark, who was Freddie in School of Rock, the drummer.
Yeah.
He died in a cycling accident.
Yeah.
Which is really, really sad. He was only, terrible. I think, 32.
He was the same age Jack Black was when he played Mr. Schneebly, I believe.
Really? I didn't know that. Yeah. What I do have here in my notes is that when the film was released in 2003,
wow,
Kevin Clark was 12 years old, and he has not been in another film ever.
Is he not?
No, he's just literally been a musician since. He's been in a few bands.
Cool.
Kept in touch with Jack Black, although I think they all did. I think.
Yeah, they had that really awesome reunion.
Yeah, Jack Black is just great, isn't he? You can't.
No, he's brilliant.
No, Jack Black's amazing.
He is.
So, yeah, Jack Black put up a really heartfelt post about it. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, yeah.
Miranda Cosgrove apparently did too. I don't follow her, so.
No, I don't.
I didn't see. I'm not a big iCarly fan. I mean, the fact that I know the name. Is
iCarly's great, but that's for another time.
So that's really sad. We've also had in kind of lighter stuff, we've had a few trailers come out since the last episode, which I brought along a few that I was excited about. Are there any that jump out at you and we'll go from there?
I'm just still rewatching that Green Knight trailer, to be honest. And
yeah, I have watched it again a couple of times.
And also one that I'm really, really excited for is The French Dispatch, Wes Anderson's new one. I cannot wait for that.
Do you know what? I don't know much about it, but I'm on board. I'm definitely on board.
Oh, it's, you know what you're getting with Wes, but it It just looks so good. I think
with, you do know what you're getting with him, but you basically know what you're getting is something really weird and unique.
Yeah.
So you can't, it's one of those like where you don't want to miss it because it might be really weird or it might
You know it's going to be good whatever it is.
So yeah, no, that's exciting. The ones that kind of grabbed me for different reasons. The Tomorrow War. Did you catch that one?
I don't know that I did.
It's so we bashed him a little bit. Well, no, not him personally, but we did talk MCU and we talked Chris Pratt a little bit. But it's Chris Pratt, sci-fi war, the action thing.
Yeah.
He is a dad who's drafted into a future war against an alien invasion. It's like he has to go 30 years into the future to fight these aliens to save his daughter or something.
Right.
It looks a bit, I mean,
sounds
plot-wise,
very generic.
It sounds a bit, you know, plain. But I think, and obviously this is what trailers are supposed to do,
yeah.
But the trailer does make it look like it's going to be a big sort of epic action type thing, like a real spectacle. Yeah. And it looks like they've given Chris Pratt a little bit of lead to be kind of funny and stuff. So
he loves
hopefully it will be worth watching. I mean, it's set to come out on the 2nd of July on Prime Video. So
why do they just go straight to Prime? Like, I feel like especially after not going to the cinema for over a year, I will watch anything at the cinema, literally anything, apart from Peter Rabbit 2. I refuse to watch that.
I get what you're saying, but I do think personally that there is something to be said for it because they've done pretty good numbers the last couple of years with releasing straight to like home streaming.
Yeah,
and I think there are still a lot of people who are going to be quite anxious about going to the cinema. I think a lot of people have gotten used to the idea of like staying at home and watching their films at home. Mm. The cinema's expensive as well. Like a lot of people don't want to pay out just for that experience. And I think, I don't know, I think it can work releasing to home streaming, especially, you know, if you've already got Prime Video, why wouldn't you watch it?
Yeah, that's true. See, and I think I don't mind. It's when Disney, well, I'm sure other people do it, but Disney, they'll release something at the cinema, but then you can also watch it on Disney Plus, but you have to pay a cinema ticket price.
Yeah. That's a bit crooked to me. Like I don't,
but you do make a good point. I take that back.
I do miss the cinema, but I don't miss the prices. And
no.
I think like, I'm quite excited. I think from a personal point of view, The Tomorrow War isn't a film I would shell out to go and watch in the cinema.
No.
I might, maybe, but generally speaking, I don't go and see just sort of every like
anything,
action film, every site, you know. I don't know if it grabs me enough that I'd pay upwards of like £20 just to go and see it once when
I could wait,
buy it on DVD or Blu-ray or whatever and have it forever for less than that.
Yeah, no, that's true.
Yeah. No, so yeah, that one looks good. Did you see the trailer for Old?
I didn't. I'm really,
Bold.
Really slacking. No, I haven't seen Old. Again, I might have done if you talk about it. Go on.
It struck me as your sort of thing.
Oh, even more shame.
It's M. Night Shyamalan.
Yeah, I have seen this.
Yeah, the one, it's like a family, they go to the beach and the kids start aging rapidly. It looks a bit...
freaked me out big time.
Yeah, it looks like it might be a bit of a return to form for him because he's been a little bit hit and miss.
So people loved Split. I've not seen Split or I've not seen...
Split was incredible.
Was it?
Yeah, but then the follow-up, Glass.
Glass, that was it.
It wasn't great.
Was it like a direct... Was it like a sequel almost? Or was
So have you seen Unbreakable?
No.
Oh, so Unbreakable was, I think, 2000. And it was Bruce Willis and Samuel L. Jackson.
Right.
And it's the idea that there are superheroes, but they're everyday people.
Okay.
It was a really good film quite early on in his career. It was, you know, people loved it. It's got quite a cult following. And then Split came out about 16 years later. And it wasn't until the very, very end that you realise they're connected.
Oh, cool.
Like Bruce Willis's character just appears and he's watching a news article about the events of the film, like right
no
at the
way.
Credits. And it's like a, whoa.
That's quite a
That
cool
was mind-blowing. But James McAvoy... It
He's
plays
great.
Like 32 characters or something stupid like that. And it's a really good film.
Nice.
And then they made a follow-up, which is a direct sequel that features, it's like Bruce Willis, Samuel L. Jackson and James McAvoy it just didn't quite, it just it came off as a bit like, okay.
Well, that's a shame, because that's a good cast.
That is, it was a great cast, and they're all good in it. It just, I don't know, it just wasn't as good as it could have been.
Film.
But then he's also done a lot of good films. Mr. Shyamalan. Signs, that was a brilliant film. The Village, I really liked.
Yeah, The Village. The Village was one of those films that, like, when I was younger and we used to have sleepovers and we'd be like, oh, let's watch a scary film.
Yeah, and there'd always be someone who, you know, wet the bed.
What you do? Yeah, just shut up.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Can we watch Dumb and Dumber again?
That was both me on both occasions.
Well, I didn't want to name names, but it does look like he might be, like, it looks promising.
Nice.
It also, I mean, I don't know how much he's in it because he wasn't in the trailer very much, but it has Alex Wolff in it. He was in Hereditary, you know, the kid from Hereditary, but yes, he was in the new Jumanji films as well.
Yeah.
He's really good, so he's going to be in it at least a little bit.
Oh, of course it is. Yeah, I know now. Yeah.
Yeah. So that looks promising. I haven't got a release date for that one. I want to say it's late this year.
Yeah, it is this year.
But yeah, there is one more trailer that I saw that...
Is it your favourite Marvel world?
No, it's not.
Is it not?
What did you have one you wanted to?
Well, I thought just because with the class, you know, you were getting slight superhero fatigue, Marvel fatigue, but it was a trailer for The Eternals.
No, do you know what? I didn't watch it, but I am happy to hear you talk about it.
I only watched it this afternoon because it was trending on Twitter for like forever, and I was like, oh, I'll get around to watching it. It looks great. It's got such a good cast. There's so many people in it.
Yeah.
Also, the big one being like Angelina Jolie. Like,
yeah, I was going to say, I think that's the only one I actually know.
Yeah. Kit Harington's in it.
Oh, is he?
Salma Hayek, she's in it, which is quite cool. Be cool that to see what she does, yeah. But yeah, it looks, you know, like Marvel occasionally kind of branch off a little bit and do something a little less just
generic
superhero. Yeah. It looks kind of like that. It looks quite interesting. I mean, I'll definitely watch it, so.
Yeah, well, that sounds good. I might give them a watch, the new Marvels. I don't know.
Definitely will.
Probably.
We'll go see it.
That sounds good. No, the trailer I was gonna talk about is, so I wrote about it. If you've been following the site since the start, I think this was like the first couple of weeks that it was up that I wrote about this, like anticipated releases for this year. And this is one of the ones I was most excited for. And there is only a tiny bit more information available now than there was then. But Last Night in Soho.
It's on my notes. Yep, very excited for that.
So it's Edgar Wright, who I don't understand how...
He's not made a bad film.
No, he's so versatile. Yeah, he's just... I'm really excited to see what he's done with it.
Great.
If you've not seen it and you want to know a little bit about it, the young fashion designer finds herself transported into 1960s London in the body of her idol, who is played by Anya Taylor-Joy. And she has this weird sort of mind-bending adventure. She falls in love with another lounge singer. She's a lounge singer, and she falls in love with another singer who is played by Matt Smith, who I also love.
He's great.
And yeah, it's like sort of supposed to be a psychological horror. I don't really know much more about it. I don't think much more has been released, but it just looks really creepy. The trailer was creepy. Did you see it?
The trailer was good. I like the song choice and the way
I've had that in my head ever since.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, brilliant stuff. The last bit of news I've got here is another thing I think you'll be excited about. Did you hear about Indiana Jones 5?
Oh, God. I didn't. I'm kind of excited, but also terrified. You're going to tell me Chris Pratt has been cast as Indiana Jones? Please don't tell me.
No. You can set that dread aside, because it is Harrison Ford.
Oh.
It is set to be a 1960s indie adventure, like a Cold War type thing.
Ooh.
There's not really any more plot details other than Mads Mikkelsen has been cast as a Nazi of some kind.
Of course.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge and Boyd Holbrook are both set to appear. I'm not sure exactly in what roles. And that's pretty much it so far. Other than, and again, I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but Steven Spielberg is not directing.
Is he not?
No, he's been replaced by James Mangold, who directed Walk the Line, The Wolverine, Logan, and a few other things.
All that we great weren't. Films.
So I think that's going to be
that's promising.
Quite exciting. Yeah, I'd like to think so.
I mean, Logan was one of the best comic book films.
I'm going to be honest, I've still not seen it.
Have you not? You definitely, definitely should. It really is good.
I really love X-Men and I've just not watched it, but I will.
Yeah, I will. Definitely. Oh, that's cool. No, I'm up for that. I'm down.
Yeah, so basically the news about Indy 5 is not that exciting, but it's been in production for the last, I think, 5 years.
It's been a while, isn't it?
And, well, it's been in like pre-production for 5 years. But the news is that there's been a couple of set pictures leaked. It's set construction. It's not actual set stuff yet. But
that's pretty cool.
They are building the set. There was one of the pictures was of a sort of bombed out castle thing. So, you know, I guess we'll see where that heads. But it's quite promising. It means that it's on the horizon and it's,
yeah,
you know, soon to be underway. So, yeah. So that's the news, I guess. There's not really much else. I mean, there's other stuff, but we don't care about that.
Yeah, no, we don't care.
So I guess we just move on to our final segment.
The final segment.
The last segment is, as always, our movie pet peeves. And we just get to talk about what we've been hating lately, really. So Jack, would you like to tell me what's really been annoying you?
What's really been annoying me is the fact that a lot of things annoy me. And when it comes to talking about them, I can't remember them.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
One of which, right, is bad kisses, on-screen kisses.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not bringing Tobey Maguire and Kirsten Dunst kind of kissing, Spidey kissing, I'm not interested. I've got time for rubbish smooching. Like, no offense, Daniel Radcliffe. Right. Great moment when he finally gets to lock his little white lips with Cho Chang, but it was just weird. It was just awkward. It was so awkward.
That was, although to be fair, I think that was supposed to be awkward, that one.
It was, but then I just, it was not good.
I know what you mean. It's really cringeworthy when there's
not even
really
in a weird
kiss.
Way either. Like, I don't want to see people kissing. I just mean, if you're gonna kiss, do it properly.
Well, no, I think it's not about enjoying seeing it. It's about when it's bad, it takes you out of the moment, doesn't it? It really breaks your immersion in the film when there's no romance there. Like, you want to believe that that's a couple. You want to believe that there's some passion.
Yeah.
And yeah, quite often there isn't. And that is really disappointing. I get that.
All right, so take note, guys. You need to be upside down and you need to be in the rain and you also need to be Spider-Man. Well,
I think you should do like an online kind of webinar on how to kiss properly.
I don't feel like I'm qualified to host that.
Well, you wouldn't be the actual host. You'd be a co-host with a watermelon with a lipstick mouth.
Right, can we write this down? I'm actually going to do this.
That's an award-winning idea. You're going to be a millionaire.
Oh, God.
So I'll put it in a link dump in the info, Jack's kissing classes.
And you can sign up for only $4.99 a month.
So if you're making a film in particular, just make sure you've done the
signed
class.
Up to Jack's masterclass.
Yeah.
Anyway, Niall, what's bothering you? What's your pet peeve?
My pet peeve this week is, so it comes from the two films I've just talked about.
Yeah.
Not just talked about. The two films I talked about at the start of the podcast, Zombieland and A Lot Like Love, both featured this, is, you know, when your characters get into a car and suddenly there's a really obvious screen.
Yes.
Well, why? It just bothers me, right? Yeah. And I don't want to sound unreasonable, because I noticed it in Zombieland and that's kind of what put it in my head as like, okay, that's going to be my thing. But
I've seen it now.
In a film like Zombieland, I get it, because you know they're trying to show a sort of apocalyptic wasteland. Yeah, there's dystopian. Deserted cars, there's a deserted road, there's abandoned cars everywhere. That's going to be costly to make that for real.
Yeah.
And I get why you'd use a screen for that. But when I watched A Lot Like Love, it was a modern day rom-com. Why use a really obvious screen when you could just rig a camera to the car?
Yeah, to a trailer and just be dragged around.
Yeah, it's not hard. You know, you have a, like, it's not a difficult thing to do anymore, really, because if you think, I don't know if you've seen Modern Family.
I have seen Modern Family, yeah.
Every single in-car shot was done for real. Like, they didn't use a screen at all. And you can really, I mean, you can't tell, but that's the point.
Yeah.
There's never a point where you go, oh, bad screen.
No.
Like, and it's so ingrained now in film and in TV that you just kind of like, oh, there's a screen, and you don't. But I just think when it's done right, it just looks good. Like, it just looks right. And then other times, so like in Zombieland, for example, I'll let them off of using a screen, right?
Yeah.
That, you know, fair enough. It was kind of warranted. But the screen they used didn't match the actual, like, the place they were in.
Oh, no, that is jarring.
Like, they were on a road, and then the background was just, like, mountains and, like, nature. And I was like, wait, where did that come from?
Yeah, no, that is
annoying. Wasn't there. It just really annoys me. I guess it does really link into my thing the other week of bad CGI, but
yeah,
it's not,
no, they go
it's not about
hand.
The CGI. It's just about the laziness of it, and especially when it doesn't even match up with the actual place they're in.
No, and someone had to sit there for hours and edit that. You'd think at some point they might notice the scenery.
Yeah, they might have like clicked that, oh, we haven't done that properly. But I don't know. That just winds me up.
Yeah, that's fair.
You know, that's mine for this episode.
That's a good one.
Okay, so that brings us, I think, to the end of the podcast. We've done all our segments. We've had our say. We've had a complaint. You all know what we've been watching. And you know where we would fit into our fantasy worlds. So I guess it's just time to do the admin stuff before we do our quote. You can find Corner of Film. Jack, do you know where you can find Corner of Film?
I think you could possibly find it on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Are they all at Corner of Film?
They are, yes.
Look at that.
That was perfect, Jack. You just smashed that right out
of
the park.
Thank you very much.
You can also follow the podcast on Spotify or on Podbean if you're on that. I have submitted it to Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts, so hopefully soon it will be on those platforms too. But please make sure you're, you know, following, liking, rating, commenting, whatever you like. It really does help. I will be back next week with another mini episode of the podcast. It will be about 10 minutes long again. Just nice little bite-sized informative thing. Not the same format as this at all, but it's fun to do. Easy to edit.
It's a nice and little accompaniment to when you're eating your cereal in the morning. Stick it on.
Yeah, yeah. Listen to my voice. I know I can't because I drive myself mad, but there we go. I think I'm going to do the next one on weird celebrity deaths, if that's something that floats your boat, particularly ones from old Hollywood, because I'm fascinated by, you know, the movie stars of the 30s and 40s. I think it's a really interesting time.
It definitely is.
So, Jack, to see us out this week, have you brought a quote along?
I have got a quote, and it's from a favourite film of mine, which I think most people have seen, called Ferris Bueller's Day Off. And it's the famous quote, you know, the one that everyone knows. And it's, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely poetry beautiful. From Ferris there.
Okay, well, Jack, thank you for coming.
Thank you once again for listening to my dreary voice.
Yes, and thank you for listening to mine, and thank everyone else for listening to both of us. We've been Jack and Niall from the Corner of Film podcast.
Yep.
And we will be back in a couple of weeks. So
have a nice week.
Thank you, and goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye.